I get a little sentimental about that one. My son Peter really enjoys that Somewhere in My Memory, a very touching part of the movie Home Alone, when Macaulay Culkin as a little boy gets left behind when the rest of the family goes to Paris. But yes, it all comes out well in the end. A lot of fun. That was John Williams' music from Home Alone. Welcome to Hollywood Holiday. I'm Lynn Warfel here with Bill Morlock, and we have an hour of great Christmas movie music.
The music is going to be everything from celebrational to extremely grumpy. So let's get started.
Sort of like you and me, it's a reflection. And we change. You know, we can change character between the two of us. We're going to get things underway on Hollywood Holiday with a movie that put everything together for my kids. They love Christmas, and one of the two kids is crazy about trains. So Polar Express did it all. Tom Hanks put a lot of his own money into the movie, and he also played at least three or four parts I can think of: the conductor, the father. He even played Santa Claus and the hobo. So he gave voice to four different characters. Here is Tom Hanks performing for us in Polar Express.
Young man, that is not a toy. Take your seats, please. Take your seats.
Tom Hanks, musical star, with Alan Silvestri's music from Polar Express.
He did a good job in that, really. It's a delightful movie, one a big favorite around our house anyway. Well, from that, we're going to start touching on Dickens. Charles, give him the Dickens.
Yeah. Rattle the chains. Rattle the chains.
Cue ghosts. This was one of my favorites. When we were certain age baby boomers in college, this came out in 1970. And it featured a great cast.
You were
cast.
A prodigy. You were in college in 1970?
No, I wasn't. No, actually. But I visited France, and we saw the movie. Hmm. But it has a great cast. Dame Edith Evans plays one of the ghosts. Kenneth Moore plays another one. And Marley's ghost is played by the great Alec Guinness in Scrooge, the musical version. And Albert Finney ages very well. He was young when he made the movie, so he did the young Ebenezer very well, but he had to age himself to play here. Leslie Bricus did the music and the lyrics, and I think the lyrics are fabulous in this opening sequence where Scrooge sings, "I hate people." And then after that, we'll go to the part where the ghost of Christmas Past takes him back, and he's forced to see himself dancing with the love of his life, Isabel, as she's called in this movie. And the old Scrooge looks at the young Scrooge dancing with this beautiful woman and sings this really heartbreaking song called "You."
Scavengers and sycophants and flatterers and fools, Pharisees and parasites and hypocrites and ghouls, calculating swindlers, prevaricating frauds, perpetrating evil as they roam the earth in hordes, feeding on their fellow men, reaping rich rewards, contaminating everything they see, corrupting honest men like me. Hattenbach, Poppycock, Balderdash, bah. I hate people. I hate people. People are despicable creatures, loathsome, inexplicable creatures, good for nothing, kickable creatures. I hate people. I abhor them. When I see the indolent classes sitting on their indolent asses, gulping ale from indolent glasses, I hate people. I detest them. I deplore them. Fools who have no money, spend it. Get in debt, then try to end it. Beg me on their knees, befriend them, knowing I have cash to lend them. Soft-hearted me, hard-working me, clean-living, thrifty, and kind as can be. Situations like this are of interest to me. I hate people, I loathe people, I despise and abominate people. Life is full of cretinous wretches earning what their sweat in its fetches, empty minds whose pettiness stretches further than I can see. Little wonder I hate people, and I don't care if they hate me.
You were everything. you were good for me. You were my day. Did all you could for me. I let you go away. And now I can see, now you're a dream gone by. Oh, how could there be such a fool as I? I who must travel on. What hope for me? Dream where my past has gone. Live with a memory. You, my only hope. You, my only love. You.
Two contrasting tunes there, beginning with One Man's Manifesto, a misanthropic manifesto, to be sure, and then after he, well, evolves, I guess. He said grudgingly.
I know what Bill's Christmas present is going to be from me. I'm taking the lyrics to I Hate People and embroidering them on a sampler for you, Bill.
With a lump of coal.
Well, sure. Yeah. Sure, why not? And we also heard You, the beautiful love song, where you start to see that Scrooge character just cracking through the shell a little bit, but his defenses all go back up, and he doesn't let him come out until the end of the movie. That was Albert Finney from Scrooge, and Leslie Bricus did the music and the lyrics.
Nice choice. You love that particular...
I'm a sucker for that. Around our house,
treatment.
We actually watch all the Christmas Carol movies, and there's so many great Scrooges. There's George C. Scott in a TV version that was filmed in England, and there's the Alistair Sim version, and there is the original Owen version, and there's the Muppet Christmas Carol, and there's the Patrick Stewart version. We watch them all.
A connoisseur of Scrooge.
I am. That's why I like you, Bill.
Care for a lump of coal?
Yes.
On to 1942, when I think we're still kind of heating the fireplaces with coal, and a motion picture in black and white that Bing Crosby, in which Bing Crosby introduced a song that I think sold 5 quadrillion copies and made Irving Berlin somewhat richer than Meyer Rothschild.
To the second power.
It was called White Christmas, and here it is in a version I think you have... determined came from the other movie, White Christmas, in 1951.
1951, the one that starred Vera Ellen and Danny Kaye and Bing Crosby and the wonderful, I love her, Rosemary Clooney. Here it is.
I'm dreaming of a Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, And may all your Christmases be white.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
Jazz critic Gary Giddens called that voice the second most influential voice in 20th century popular music after Louis Armstrong, belonging to a man, Bing Crosby, who kind of changed American tastes from the high, fluttery tenor of Rudy Valley through the megaphone to that deep baritone, although augmented by amplification and microphones, Bing Crosby and White Christmas.
I love augmented baritones.
Now stop that.
Cut that out. Speaking of voices, we have some you're definitely going to recognize when Hollywood Holiday returns. Welcome back to Hollywood Holiday. Let's see how long it takes you to recognize these voices.
You sent for me, sir?
Yes, Clarence. A man down on Earth needs our help.
Splendid. Is he sick?
No, worse. He's discouraged. At exactly 10:45 p.m. Earth time, that man will be thinking seriously of throwing away God's greatest gift.
Oh, dear, dear, his life. Then I've only an hour to dress. What are they wearing now?
You will spend that hour getting acquainted with George Bailey.
Sir,
you know the state you've gotten into? I think it's Pennsylvania, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, actually. The only thing I knew about It's a Wonderful Life that had Pennsylvania connections were the fact that it was Bedford Falls was supposed to be in Pennsylvania, and Jimmy Stewart was from Indiana, Pennsylvania. So as a Pennsylvanian, I thought that was cool. But we found out a tidbit I did not know about the original story behind It's a Wonderful Life.
A man named Philip Van Doren Stern, who was a scholar and a critic and an editor, wrote a short story called The Greatest Gift and tried to get it published in the late 1930s, had no luck at all, finally gave up and thought, oh, well, I'll publish it myself and send it out as Christmas cards to about 200 of my closest friends. And in that way, it made its way into brought it to the attention of a Hollywood producer, and then it kind of took off.
Yeah, in the early 1940s, 1943, they originally thought of it, RKO Pictures, as a vehicle for Cary Grant, and they hired Clifford Odets and Dalton Trumbo to do the screenplay for it. And yeah, could have been a whole different story.
Yeah, he would have jumped off the bridge if it had been Clifford Odets.
Yeah, It's a Wonderful Life, the opera. But anyway, Jimmy Stewart came in there, and Frank Capra and Jimmy Stewart had just returned from World War II as vets, where Jimmy Stewart served in the Army Air Corps, and Frank Capra was taking some of those very iconic photos of the D-Day invasions in Normandy. So they got together and filmed something as far away from D-Day as you can possibly get. Wonderful story about a man who realizes what life really means in Bedford Falls. The finale to It's a Wonderful Life, and you did hear Beethoven's Ode
yeah,
to
what's
Joy.
Yeah, what's up with that? I thought it was in Die Hard or something.
They originally, when Tiomkin did all the cues for in the score, they cut a whole bunch of it out. He was kind of disappointed. They hired a bunch of studio composers to write incidental stuff or rework some Christmas carols. So Tiomkin was very disappointed. And the neat thing about this recording, which does feature the Royal Philharmonic led by David Newman, Alfred's son, it restores some of those scores. That's the original out that Dmitri Tiomkin wanted to use in It's a Wonderful Life.
Amazing.
So we're going to move on to Albert Finney, and this is the moments in which Scrooge has had the epiphany, has decided that he's been given another chance. The ghosts have put the fear of ghosts into him, and he sings this wonderful song. Now, he speaks it, but you can hear the melody line that Brickus has written under it, and it's called I'll Begin Again, and it's more or less how the movie ends.
I'm alive. I'm alive. I've got a chance to change, and I will not be the man I was. I'll begin again. I will build my life. I will live to know that I fulfilled my life. I'll begin today. Throw away the past. And the future I build will be something that will last. I will take the time I have left to live. And I will give it all that I have left to give. I will live my days for my fellow men, and I live in praise of that moment when I was able to begin again. I will start anew. I will make amends. And I'll make quite certain that the story ends on a note of hope, on a strong amen. And I'll thank the world and remember when I was able to begin again.
Life likes me, life and I very fully agree. I like life, life likes me, life and I very fully agree. Life is fine, life is good, especially mine, which is just as it should be. I like pouring the wine, and why not? Life's a pleasure that I deny not. I like life here and now. Life and I made a mutual vow. Till I die, life and I, we both try to be better somehow. And if life were a woman, she would be my wife. Life likes me. I made life a perpetual spree. Eating food, drinking wine, thinking food like the privilege to dine me. I like living the life of pleasure, pausing only to take my leisure. Oh. I like songs, I like dance, I hear music and I'm in a trance. Tra-la-la, oh papa, chances are I shall get up and prance. Where there's music and laughter, happiness is right. Why? Because I like life.
More music reflecting Lynn's thing for grumpy guys at Christmas, I guess. Scrooge.
Get my husband on the phone. Tony. Yeah, it's a great thing. Leslie Bricus's musical. Actually, as I mentioned, did I mention it went to from film to Broadway just recently? It was last 5 years that it became a musical on stage in the West End in London and on Broadway. Well, we will go on with Scrooge, perhaps one of the best.
Albert Finney again.
Albert Finney. Yeah. Albert Finney. We'll go on with one of the best known maybe versions of A Christmas Carol, the one from 1951 that starred Alistair Sim and a stellar English cast. And they turned to British composer Richard Adenzel for the music. It's arguably probably the best version of the story. It's I know it's around our house one of the favorites. Now, the thing is, the original printed scores of the film were destroyed in the 1960s because the deal is studios didn't keep stuff like that around. They didn't see the use in having to have the storage space wasted on it. So they trashed it. But the suite we're going to hear has been reconstructed from Adenzel's original pencil sketches. And pretty much if you follow the music, it tells the story of A Christmas Carol from beginning to end.
Thank you.
That was the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, David Newman conducting, and David's father, Alfred, known for many of his own film scores, as well as writing the 20th Century Fox fanfare. That was Richard Attenzell's A Christmas Carol.
So how many Scrooges being screened in your house this holiday season?
Probably about six.
That how many there are?
I think there's more than that, but we don't really watch the Kelsey Grammer one. Sorry, Kelsey. Frasier as Scrooge doesn't quite cut it.
Face! And when you find the original lamplack cylinder recording of Dickens himself doing a reading in 1865, let me know.
I'll up for it. Maybe it's on eBay. And Hollywood Holiday will return with one more version of Scrooge involving Michael Caine and an amphibian. Welcome back to Hollywood Holiday. Here is a wonderful version of A Christmas Carol as told by Michael Caine and the Muppets.
When a cold wind blows, it chills you to the bone.
But there's nothing in nature that freezes your heart like years of being alone.
It paints you with indifference like a lady paints with rouge.
The worst of the worst,
the most hated and cursed,
is the one that we call Scrooge.
Yeah. Unkind as any,
and the wrath of many,
this is Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh, there goes Mr. Humbug, there goes Mr. Grimm. If they gave a prize for being me, the winner would be him.
Old Scrooge, he loves his money, cause he thinks it gives him power.
If he became a flavor, you can bet he would be sour.
There goes Mr. Skinflint, there goes Mr. Green,
the undisputed master of the underhanded deed.
He charges folks a fortune for his dark and drafty houses.
Us poor folk live in misery.
It's even worse for mouses.
Please, sir, I want some cheese.
He must be so lonely, he must be so sad. He goes to extremes to convince us he's bad.
He's really a victim of fear and of pride.
Look close and there must be a sweet man inside.
Nah.
There goes Mr. Outrage, there goes Mr. Sneer.
He has no time for friends or fun.
His anger makes that clear.
Don't ask him for a favor, cause his nastiness increases.
No crust of bread for those in need.
No Jesus for us Mises.
There goes Mr. Heartless, there goes Mr. Cruel.
He never gives, he only takes, he lets his hunger rule.
And all that work is paying off, cause Scrooge is getting worse.
Yeah. Every day, in every way, Scrooge is getting worse.
That was Jim Henson's last major motion picture that he made before he passed away in 1991 from A Muppet Christmas Carol. That was Scrooge. Okay, one more grumpy guy before we end Hollywood Holiday. From the Ron Howard version of How the Grinch Stole Christmas, here is Jim Carrey doing some pretty impressive singing.
With his coat and his hat on a gush-like Saint Nick.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
You really are a heel.
You're as cuddly as a cactus and as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch.
You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
Just face the music, you're a monster. Mr. Grinch, yes you are.
Your heart's an empty hole.
Your brain is full of spiders. You got Gallagher's solo, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't touch you with a
39 and a half foot pole. Mr. Grinch, you have termites in your spine.
You have all the tender sweetness
of a seasick crocodile, Mr. Grinch. Given the choice between you, I'd take the seasick crocodile.
Jim Carrey as the Grinch from the Ron Howard movie version.
Well, getting us toward the end of this Hollywood holiday program is another kind of grumpy character actor, but in a very stylish way. The man who played Guy of Gisborne and, of course, the resident of 221B Baker Street in many of the Sherlock Holmes movies, Basil Rathbone. And he seems to be trying to pry out the clues of who is behind this home invasion going on in an old chestnut. Watson? Watson?
It's Moriarty.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky, so up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled! His dimples, how merry! His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. He had a broad face, and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim as he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
Oh, Basil Rathbone, I loved those Sherlock Holmes movies with Nigel Holmes.
Oh, Christmas.
I can see him. He should be in there somewhere. You just feel like he should.
The kinder, gentler Basil Rathbone. In.
Yeah.
"'Twas the Night Before Christmas." Well, I think our hour is through. Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you, Bill.
We got to thank Zach Rose for fixing all of our outrageous production mistakes.
It was his Christmas present to us. Bill, you must say Merry Christmas to the people.
Merry Christmas, people.
Wow. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas!
Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry! Merry! Yay! Yay! Hello, Bedford Falls! Merry Christmas!
George!
Merry Christmas, movie house! Merry Christmas, Emporium! Merry Christmas, you wonderful old building alone!
On Talk of the Nation, we like to be clear about what we're talking about, whether it's movies.
A B movie was a movie that was made specifically to be on the bottom half of a double feature.
Or the auto industry.
One mid-level executive at a top automaker told me, well, 30 years ago, we were a car company that would occasionally lend money to our customers, and now we're a bank that makes cars.
Talk of the Nation. Clear, straight, open. From NPR News.
Weekday afternoons at 1 on AM 580.
WILO programming is made possible by Columbia Street Roastery, offering over 30 varieties and blends of whole bean or ground coffee at 24 East Columbia in Champaign. Coffee, tea, and chai are available from their retail store, in local restaurants, and through Columbia Street Roastery's coffee service. More information is available at 352-9713.
This is Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3, Urbana.